Blog Talk Radio.
Coming at, coming right from your area.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's a franchise,
it's a franchise.
You can't see me,
can't
my time
see me.
Is now. God, I fell off, I'm still hot. Knock your shell off, my money.
What's up, Rob? How you doing? Of course, we are good to go tonight. It's Talking Sports for the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by my co-host, Mr. Robin Ford. We're celebrating Happy St. Patrick's Day to all of my Irish countrymen out there, man. What a great, great day for Talking Sports for the 12th Man. Without further ado, I always got to say a big, big shout-out, what's up on this Monday, to my co-host, Mr. Robin Ford. How you doing, sir?
Doing great, Doc. Let's get this ball going.
Man, as mentioned, man, we got a lot of things to talk about. We've missed you guys. We haven't been on the edge due to, you know, scheduling conflicts. We've been crazy busy. We've been hitting the road. We've been getting some scouting information, some source stuff. So we are back ready to roll. But once again, before we get started jumping into the show, we're going to talk about some NCAA. Got a lot of things also to talk about regarding the Final Four predictions, which teams are left out. If we have some time, we're going to talk about some players to watch, some surprise teams, as well as maybe jumping into some NFL mock draft coverage. But I do want to throw out the show numbers if anyone wants to join us and share their thoughts. And I'm sure Robert can help me out with this as well. Rob, you know the number to call into the show? What's the number to call into the show?
424-243-9519.
I caught him off guard. I know. I just trying to think something a little different there. But once again, that's the number to call on this show. If you want to follow us via Twitter, we are at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And via Facebook as well, we do a lot of great updates as far as what's been happening with a lot of signings and whatnot. If you want to follow us on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/12thmansports. If you put in Talking Sports for the 12th Man, you will find us as well. Woo! Happy St. Patrick's Day. And, Rob, man, we are officially in what's called the madness of March, Rob. And let's kind of talk about some Final Fours. We're going to talk about Wichita State. They were undefeated. Can they make it to the Final Four? They got to go through that group of death bracket. But first and foremost, I want to talk to you about your Final Four predictions and what you think about the tournament.
Well, I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. I think this is I think part of it is you got a great freshman class with some great players in this class here. I think it's going to make for an exciting tournament. I think there's about 8 to 15 teams in this tournament that have the legitimate chance of really being a national champion. And so I think it's going to be an exciting tournament. You look at the Final Four predictions here. I like Arizona out west. I like them as the number one seed to make it all the way to the Final Four. When you look at the Midwest region, that's the region where Wichita State is number one. I like Louisville out of that bracket to come out of there. So you're looking at Arizona, and you're looking at Louisville. Then when you look at the other two regions here, the South, I like Kansas as the number two seed to make it. And then when you look at the East bracket, I like Michigan State. So that would be Kansas against Michigan State in the one semifinal. I like Kansas to win that. And then when you look at Louisville against Arizona, I like Louisville. So that will make my national championship game Kansas against Louisville. I like the Jayhawks to win it all. Rock Chalk Jayhawk as the number two seed. I think we got probably two of the top three players in the country, and Joey Meade, Andrew Wiggins. I look to see them make a run, even though Meade may miss the first two games of the tournament. That's my team to win it all in the national championship.
I like it, man. That's a pretty good Final Four, Rob. Let's see here. I kind of like it. Maybe we're slightly different in a couple things. I think, you know, this has been such an interesting game, or, you know, a year, if you will. I'm just going to go, like, just all just kind of different, man. I know everyone's pretty concerned with things, man. This is what I like. Out of the East bracket, sir, I like Virginia. What? I just like it, man. I don't know what it is, man. They proved themselves versus Duke. I think they're battle tested. I think they're ready, Rob. I definitely like that team, man, coming out of the East. Let's see here. Out of the South, I know Florida kind of struggled, man. That's kind of a tough go. I'm going to give you some love, too, and kind of agree with you in Kansas in that instance. Out of the West, this is a pretty interesting thing, man. You got some good teams, San Diego State. You got Creighton. You got Wisconsin, Arizona. They've been playing pretty well, too, man. So I think I'm going to – I just got to be different, man. I just got to be a little different here. I'm going to go Wisconsin out of that one. How about that? How about just forget the prediction. And then coming out of the Midwest, as we talked about, I'm just going to keep it raw. I'll just go with Wichita State. You know, I know they may not even get past Kentucky, even Louisville. And if they do get past, they got Duke to worry about too, man. But let's say that they just kind of, like, shocked the world, and let's keep it moving too. They've been undefeated. Let's see if they try to prove something as well too. So I've got Virginia, Wisconsin. Who did I say out of the West here? Did I say did I agree to Arizona? No, I got Wisconsin here. Then I went with what did I go with here? I had it written down. I apologize, America, but that's okay. And then in my final game, I'm gonna go with I had Kansas City. I had Kansas as well. I apologize. I got a little lost there. I was trying to follow the whole track, but I like Kansas. I don't think they're gonna win it all though. I'm going to go ahead and say that this is going to be Virginia's year. They haven't won since 1976. Let's go, Virginia. Let's go, Cavaliers, all the way.
All right. Y'all heard it first. Mr. Andre Peterson picking Virginia to win it all.
I just got to be different, man. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. But let's just have some fun with it, too.
They're number like one seed.
Mm. Yep. It's interesting. But like I said, Kansas, this could be anybody's year. As you know, it's always one of those – that's what makes it so exciting. And sometimes whenever you pick your brackets, sometimes even though it's going to mess up your bracket, you're pulling for an underdog team or something like that too. So, you know, this is a pretty interesting game, obviously. And, you know, we'll talk about that. So now that Andre made some crazy predictions here, I guess the next thing you got to ask is can Wichita State make it to the Final Four, Rob? Now, you know, out of that that Midwest bracket, that's the group of death, you know. So let's say they possibly end up, you know, they get that first round. Next thing you know, they got to beat, you know, Kentucky. Then if they somehow manage to beat Kentucky, you got Louisville waiting right there. And if they somehow beat Louisville, they got the Elite Eight, you got Duke right there. So this is going to be a tough go for Wichita State. I know there have been some challenges as far as them being undefeated and them even having a strength of schedule, but do you think they have a shot, Rob, to make it to the Final Four?
Well, I think they have a shot. This Wichita State team is a team that's been together for a long time, and that's a dangerous thing. A lot of these other big schools, you know, have the star players. They're, you know, only going to be there a year or two. This Wichita State team has been together for a while. They're battle-tested. But I just think they haven't really been challenged this year. And I have them losing. I have them making it to the Sweet 16. I think they'll get back Kentucky in a close game in the second round. But I have them losing to Louisville in the round of six. I think Louisville will be too strong for them. And I like the way Louisville is playing. And I think you'll see Wichita State come up short and lose in that round of 16. And like I said, I just think they haven't really been battle-tested this year. And, you know, and I think that's going to hurt them in the long run.
I think that's interesting, Rob. I mean, going undefeated makes you battle-tested. I think there's only been a couple teams that have done that, going back to UNLV, you know, back in the days, or recently, you know. But like I said, it's going to be a tough challenge no matter what it is. I think it's definitely harder to do that. I know there's been some close games. But like you said, they've been together for a minute. They've got kind of the you know, all it takes is one hot team to kind of throw you off your game, too. So that it can be anything that can get knocked off, too. But, you know, obviously that's what makes it exciting. That's why we are all about the madness of March as it is. Let's keep moving, Rob. We talked about his little challenges with that. And there's been a lot of teams, Rob, that were, they could have, you know, they could have easily been in, could invite us to the big dance, but they were just outside. They were snubbed, if you will. And I guess I want to throw some thoughts to you as far as some teams that you thought that were left out of the tournament that should have made it, and kind of a case of why they should have been invited, you know, as far as that particular aspect.
Well, I think the one team that comes to mind for me would be SMU with Larry Brown. He's talking about a team that's been ranked in the top 25 most of the season, has been having a dynamic season. They hit a losing streak at the end of the season and lost three in a row. And I still thought they had the body of work was enough to get them to the NCAA tournament. And obviously the NCAA tournament committee didn't feel as that way. They missed the tournament. And they're the number one seed in the entire tournament in NIT. So obviously the NIT sees that they're a good team. But for whatever reason, the NCAA tournament committee didn't think they deserved to be in a tournament. I think they're the one team that got snubbed, really the only team, in my opinion, that got snubbed.
There's a couple teams that, Rob, you could have fought for. You could have, you know, caught for Cal Bears. I mean, and I know they were just outside of it, you know, in spite of what you said. And these are maybe name teams, you know. Another team that you could possibly think about, too, was Florida State. I mean, I don't know. ACC, they played strong. You know, they maybe could have faded. There's a couple teams that I wrote down. If you're the Minnesota Gophers and or the Georgetown Hoyas, just for the namesake too. But, you know, just some situations where, you know, maybe it's more name, if you will, right now. But we'll see how the tournament plays out. The selection committee, I know they wanted to kind of have a nice, well-balanced or well-rounded tournament, if you will, too. So, obviously, we got some first games that are going. The first round is going to start tomorrow. And I know we'll go over that in a quick second, too, because we can't say play it anymore, Rob. That's a no-no, apparently, according to the NCAA, too. But we'll talk about those playing games, too, as well, and other things to think about, too. Let's talk about some players that you want to watch in the tournament, Rob. There's some players that you think we should keep an eye on right now. If you're kind of a casual fan, you're not really sure what to think about, give us some players that you think we should be watching in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the NCAA tournament, a lot of times this is when stars are made in this tournament. A few of these names I'm going to name are, you know, players that are already stars. And, you know, I think that could possibly carry their team, you know, all the way to a national championship. And, you know, could players that you're going to hear about at the next level as well. I'm going to start with a couple of players who play for Duke. And obviously, anybody that knows me, I'm not a Duke fan, but these guys are, when you look at Jabari Parker, you look at Rodney Hood for Duke, I think these are two guys that if they get really going, this is a team that could help Duke to go on a run. I think if you haven't been watching college basketball all season, these are two players you definitely want to look for. I have Duke making it to the Elite Eight, but I have them losing to Louisville. Kansas, I talked about Kansas, they're my team to win it all. When you look at Joel Meade, Andrew Wiggins, looking at two top five players in this draft coming up with Joel Meade being a number one prospect. I think this is a team and a couple of players you want to, you know, take a look at. Another one, you know, he's had a little trouble season a little bit, but he still could be a dynamic player, and he would definitely have to carry Oklahoma State on his back, and that would be Marcus Smart. Point guard, probably the best point guard in college basketball. So he's a guy that you can take a look at as well in the NCAA tournament. I don't have OK State going that far in the tournament, but he's still a dynamic player. Somebody may want to take a peek at. Like I said, if you're a casual fan, once again. You look at Kentucky, Julius Randle. I think Kentucky's had an up-and-down season, and but he's a guy that on a low block is going to be tough to stop and could possibly pull off the upset and help them to beat Wichita State. I still like Wichita State to beat them in the second round. Look at Gary Harris from Michigan State, one of the better two guards in the country. Michigan State's playing as good as anybody in the country. I had them going to the Final Four. Doug McDermott, watch Creighton as well. You talk about a guy that might be the best shooter in college basketball.
Score, crazy.
He's an awesome player. I have Creighton going all the way to the Elite Eight and losing to Arizona. And one of the better athletes in the draft, Zach LaVine, shooting guard, UCLA, a dynamic playmaker, is another player you want to take a look at. And Syracuse. Syracuse is going into a slump, a major slump. I even have them losing in the first round as one of my upsets. But Tyler Ennis is going to have to be a guy that's going to have to carry this team over the hump. And so watch Tyler Ennis. He's one of the better point guards in the draft. And it's going to take a dynamic tournament for him to get Syracuse on the right track again.
My guy from did you say my guy from Iowa State? Did you show him some love too? I don't know if I heard you say that, sir.
Well, those are my 10 players. If you want to add some, you can go ahead.
No, I think you're on point. No, I mean those are the main players too that we talked about too. You know, obviously Jabari Parker's up there, Julius Randle for Kansas. Marcus Smart, you know, Rob, this is a player that you kind of feel sorry for him because I know he came back for the opportunity to, you know, to do some damage. And do you think he actually hurt his draft stock by coming back, Rob, or do you think he actually improved it? What's your status if you do a real quick scouting report on a Marcus Smart. Man, if I get that correctly. I apologize, guys. I wasn't drinking, I promise. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I still believe he's going to be a top 10 player in this draft coming up in NBA. You know, I think he'll have to do some explaining, as some people will say. But he'll have some explaining to do in regards to some of his incidents. I think when it's all said and done, I think he's going to learn from it. I think NBA scouts will see that. But I think you still see him in a top 10 team.
Okay. Yeah, I was curious about that, too, because, you know, as we talked about, I'm sure it was definitely a shock that he came back into the draft, he came back to school, and it turned around that, you know, he obviously had a tough go this year, too. So I was curious. You know, like I said, I don't think his team is as strong as he talked about, too, and you were just hoping that he would kind of rectify and do a better job, too. But now, like I said, we'll kind of take a seat if they're able to make a little comeback, too. My guy, I like a guy from Iowa State, and not that I'm affiliated with him, but I like Melvin Ejim, if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, Ejim. This guy has just been a dynamic scorer. He's a senior, you know, and I don't know if he has enough to support that team, but you talk about just a great, great scorer. Not sure how far they're going to go, but I'm just a fan of Melvin here, and we'll keep an eye on the situation, too, as we continue to move on, too. I want to throw out the numbers real quick for those that are checking in that want to follow us. Call in. The number to call on the show, as always, it's 424-243-9519. Once again, 424-243-9519. And then also don't forget, give us those thoughts via Twitter. I know Ralby had some interesting comments about a rumor that we'll talk about a little later on that you had posted. But that's one way you get in touch with us. If you want to show us some love, interact with the host, all that good jazz, too. But let's talk one real quick, too, regarding – I know I was just kind of throwing out some different things because I just want to be controversial here. But I did mention Virginia. And the Virginia Cavaliers, you talk about a team that just – I want to say quietly maybe shocked the world here, Rob. But they did a really good job on Duke, and they kind of shut down Jabari Parker in the first half, but Jabari got his points as a great player normally does, but they were able to win their first ACC ACC championship since 1976. I was 1 year old at the time, by the way, but you talk about a team that just, they've got Jolie Harris, a really good team. Do you think they're for real, Rob, or this is kind of a situation where they kind of got hot at the right time?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think they're definitely for real, and it took them a little while to win me over as well. I was thinking with the unbalanced schedule was the main reason they won the ACC regular season title. Obviously, they went out and won a tournament as well. You're talking about a team that knows how to control the tempo with their defense. And Tony Bennett has done a tremendous job. This team is probably the best defensive team in the country, and they definitely are no fluke and can definitely make a run in this NCAA tournament at the moment. I have them getting no set. But, you know, they're definitely no fluke. And this is a team, like I said, with their defense, they can definitely make a run. in this tournament. I have Michigan State eliminating them in Sweet 16, but you know, definitely this is definitely a team that can still make a run.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you talk about a team that's that has all the right components, Rob, and I think you nailed it right on the head. You know, they play really good defense. They were able to shut down Jabari Parker in the first half, even though Jabari got his points later on, as a lot of good players do. But you talk about just a great squad, and they're gonna make some noise. I mean, like I said, I'm not saying that they're gonna shock the world totally, but you know, I picked them because I just wanted something different too. Like I said, but I like them. Out of the East, there's a lot of good squads as well. I definitely love my Iowa State Cyclones. I know they're a number 3 seed with Melvin Ejim. So like I said, it's gonna be a good tournament. Even though we talked about a couple of star players to keep an eye on, but as you said earlier, Rob, this is where stars are made. There's a lot of there could be an underrated guy that's gonna come out of nowhere and just shock the world. There's gonna be the Cinderella teams, and I guess that's kind of where we have it. And I'm gonna kind of hopefully I'm not throwing a quick curveball to you, Rob. We got about 9 minutes or so left. Are there any Cinderella teams that you think that can kind of do some upsets, or some teams that we should definitely watch out for? I know it's kind of hard to predict that, but there's some teams that you're kind of like, uh-oh, we should definitely keep an eye on?
Well, I do see, every year, there's always a team that makes a run and surprise in this tournament. And the challenge is always finding that team who you think it's going to be. That's the hard thing to predict. I like New Mexico State over San Diego State. That's one of my upsets. San Diego State plays great defense, but they can't shoot twos, they can't shoot threes, they just can't shoot the ball. They play great defense. I think New Mexico State has an opportunity to upset them, even though San Diego State is a number 4 seed. I think Tennessee, they're playing in the play-in game. I think they have an opportunity to make it to the second round, lose to Duke. Same thing with NC State. With a play-on mm-hmm. game. Another team to watch would be Nebraska. They're a great second-half team. They're a team that could surprise some people. I already mentioned New Mexico State. I think they can definitely beat San Diego State. They will be a team to watch as well. And I talked about Syracuse. I like Western Michigan to upset them in the first round, so watch Western Michigan as well.
That's awesome, man. We appreciate you taking the time to go over those lists, too, because, like I said, there's a lot of teams. As you know, that this is one of the most unpredictable times of the year. As I mentioned earlier, Rob, I'll be creating my bracket, and then I'll get excited and watching a team that's just an underdog that just kind of like messes up my whole bracket. But that's what it's all about. But keep an eye on that too. Not quite sure yet. I got to talk with my co-host. Maybe we're going to do a bracket out there for all of our listeners too. We'll keep an eye on that as well for this St. Patrick's Day too. But we're having fun as well. Once again, I'll throw out the numbers really, really quickly. For those who want to call in, we got about 6 minutes left in the show. If you want to call in the show, give us your thoughts, your feedback. The number, as always, is 424-243-9519. And we appreciate you guys keeping up with us. I know we've been kind of switching nights. But we definitely enjoy hosting and talking. So you can always listen to the archives, and we'll have some fun with that. We talked about some players to watch for. We talked about some upsets. And now, Rob, this is the exciting time. There's been a lot of draft movement here, and now I think we're going to just keep it going. Unless there's anything else you want to wrap up with the NCAA before we move on to the NFL mock draft, sir. I wanted to throw that out there before we close out that particular topic, sir.
Stay tuned here. Pay attention to our Facebook page and Twitter page here. We may try to put together here a bracket challenge for the Talking Sports with the 12th Man, so it should be nice and fun. So regarding the NCAA March Madness tournament, definitely stay tuned, pay attention here. We may develop a 12th man sports bragging rights bracket.
Love it, love it, love it. You know, as always, I'm always ready to do some bragging rights too, so that's what it's all about, as always. But let's keep moving, Rob. Now let's kind of shift gears here, and we are ready to talk some NFL mock draft information. So, been a lot of movement that's been going on in NFL free agency, and if you're obviously paying attention, there's been a lot of big moves that just recently happened. It looks like the Patriots, Rob, and the Denver Broncos are kind of going tit for tat here. But it's interesting because the Broncos, looking like after getting beat by a defensive team of Seattle, they're like, you know what, we're going to kind of build up our defense. So they, you know, messed around and signed DeMarcus Ware. Not sure how much he's got left in the tank, Rob. They also turned around and signed, probably one of the better cornerbacks in the league with Tlaib. And I guess I want to get your thoughts about that, because then you find out that the and also they ended up signing Emmanuel Sanders from formerly for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So, you know, both sides, you know, are getting you know, after losing Eric Decker, then you mess around, you see the Patriots, they get Darrell Revis for 1 year, and obviously they turn around, they get Walter Thurman from the aforementioned Seattle Seahawks. So this seems like some interesting back and forth.
Brandon Brown, yeah.
With Frazier. Yeah, Brandon Brown. I'm sorry. I can't think. I know they've shot drafted one of the Seattle. So tell us your thoughts about this. Is any moves that you think as far as NFL free agency and then how this is going to impact the mock draft? And we'll get to the mock draft as well, as we've got about 5 minutes in the show.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at so far on paper, you have to say, you know, Denver and New England have been the two most impressive teams so far in free agency. And it looked like they're both on a collision course to meet again in the AFC Championship game. When you look at the New England Patriots, they went out and, you know, solidified their cornerback position, even though they had to leave. They get Brandon Browner, they get Walter Thurman, and they also get, of course, Darrell Revis in a one-year rental deal. And so you got to look at that as being a very, you know, plus. They go out and get Brandon LaFell to help them at the wide receiver position. And so some good moves there. Look at Denver, they lose Eric Decker, but they add Emmanuel Sanders. But then when you look at getting T.J. Ward, you help yourselves with safety, you help yourself at cornerback to lead, and then you get another pass rusher in DeMarcus Ware. You get Von Miller healthy for a season. That could be a dynamite, you know, duo there. You have to like the Broncos at this moment.
And if you're the Carolina Panthers, I think you're kind of I know they had a nice little clip of one of the young fans that was just crying at the loss of Steve Smith. And it looks like the Carolina Panthers have lost all of their receiving corps. So if you're Cam Newton, maybe you're a little upset at your GM as far as not getting any weapons. So maybe they're in the market to get some veteran wide receivers as well as targeting some wide receivers in the draft, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they were looking at James Jones, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, James Jones agreed to sign with the Raiders today.
He did.
So
yes, he did.
Carolina missed out on him today. So that's a big blow to them as well. And right now I have Carolina gone with offensive tackle in the first round. Cyrus Kadujo from Alabama. They need to replace Jordan Gross.
Cyrus Quandre.
That could very well. That could very well be a wide receiver in that first round pick.
We got about a minute 47. I want you to kind of set up the show for next week, and we're getting ready to go into the OT portion. So I'll leave it up for you, Rob, as always.
We certainly appreciate all of you all for tuning into the show. We of course had a great time on the show tonight. You definitely don't want to miss us on next week. Stay tuned. We'll be posting up the exact day of the show. Typically, it will be sometime between Monday and Wednesday, so stay tuned to get information on our show for next week. We certainly appreciate you all tuning in again. Once again, next week, 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 p.m. for our good friends in Hawaii. Aloha. Good night, people.
Good night, and as Rob mentioned, we always appreciate everyone listening in, and I know, like I said, we've always kind of shifted our days, but that's the fun thing because we want to keep you guys on your toes too. So definitely give us your thoughts. I know we've been getting a lot of love from Mr. I want to say, is it Daniel Henderson Jr., Rob? He's been commenting a lot on a lot of the posts, man. So a lot of love for him, showing us some love as far as everything too with Facebook as well. But yeah, we're in the OT portion as we talk about. As always, you can't listen to it live. But if you wanted to listen to it at your job or click on the short link, we're going to talk about some NFL mock draft. We talked about some free agency moves. We'll kick that on as well. But I think we're going to talk about Teddy Bridgewater. Rob, he had his pro day today. Apparently it wasn't that great. So we'll talk about your thoughts about that as well as the changing of the guard, if you will. And this rumor about the Falcons possibly trading Julio Jones to the Patriots, I haven't seen anything about that, but we'll talk. Anyway, see you guys next week, same time, same channel.
Good night, people.
We are officially into the OT portion of the show, as always, and I definitely set it up pretty good. And we're talking about some mock drafting, and I got your mock draft up here too, Rob, so maybe we'll jump in the top 10 if you have enough time. We'll keep it moving. Maybe we'll kind of do it in blocks of 10 like we did the last couple of weeks too. But, you know, I want to talk. I don't know if you – did you hear a chance to anything about the pro day for Teddy Bridgewater, or Teddy Bridgewater? Rob, did you hear anything about that today?
Yeah, based on, you know, our sources here, you know, Teddy Bridgewater, you know, kind of had a rough outing. And, you know, obviously, you know, some scouts are ready to put a ding on his outing today. But I think there's still several teams that want to go through a private workout with them before they really knock them down. And so they're going to wait to that private workout. They still like his film, his overall film with Louisville. But obviously his pro day did not go expected. So I think there's some teams that are still interested. They want to see how well he does on the individual workout.
Yeah, that's what's kind of tough, Rob, because, you know, you do have your that body of work on your film to kind of, you know, evaluate your game because, you know, that's essentially what you're putting on tape. I mean, the film doesn't lie. That's what they always say. The thing that's kind of disappointing about this outing, Rob, is that this is a controlled environment. You're throwing to your own receivers. You have a script set up, and it's kind of like there's no wind. You're throwing against air, Rob. You're not throwing against defensive backs or anything like that. You're just going through the progressions. And for him to kind of, you know, have a tough outing, you know, like you said, it does kind of ding him. I'm not going to say it's going to drop him out of the first round or anything like that, but definitely maybe there are some concerns in that particular aspect. To put things in perspective, though, it seemed like, you know, Geno Smith, Rob, I think he was 67 for 67 or something like that. I mean, he missed like one of his passes in his pro day. So, doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be a dynamic quarterback, but this kind of shows you how a guy like Geno was, like, fantastic, and yet he kind of struggled in the league as well. I'm not going to comment on that.
Well, that's a good point you're making there. You know, I would draw out another name. Jamarcus Russell had a tremendous pro day, number one pick in the draft, and obviously ballooned in the National Football League. He bombed. And so it doesn't necessarily – I think some teams are going to really wait and see how well he does on his individual workout, but I do think some teams are disappointed with his pro day today as well. So, you know, one concern is also he has small hands for size, you know, so there is some concern with that as well. I think some people still think he's talented, so we'll currently see. I have him right now going to Oakland at number 5, and obviously I did that mock draft right before his pro day. And so not ready to change that just yet. And so maybe, you know, we'll evaluate after a few more of these pro days before we do another mock draft here.
Good stuff. We'll keep an eye on that. Any big-time moves, I just want to let you guys know, obviously. And that looks like the Giants trying to shore up that secondary. They signed, Rogers Cromartie. They re-signed him as well as thoughts on the scroll. I know they signed him as a quarterback, forgive me, too. So the Giants are trying to shore up some options as well, too. But let's jump right into the mock draft. And this is definitely the whole purpose of this is because we're always changing based upon pro days and workouts and all that fun stuff. Initially, Rob, you had Houston kind of going a different direction. Now you've got Houston taking Blake Bortles. And why the change, if you will, Rob? Is it something that you think they're just kind of bite the bullet and grab a quarterback here, or is it something that they've been having all along here?
Well, I think when it comes down to it, Houston has J. Devine Clowney as the number one player in this draft, but I think ultimately Houston know they need a quarterback, and so I think they're going to take the risk of passing on Clowney. Blake Bortles is Bill O'Brien's guy. He's the guy that he likes in this draft. He's actually pretty mobile. He's got a strong arm. He's got the size. Houston fans are going to be disappointed. They want Johnny Manziel. But I think Bill O'Brien is going to take the pick that he thinks is going to be a better pro player. He's going to go with Blake Bortles.
It's funny, too. On January the 19th, Rob put down Teddy Bridgewater to go to Houston. So you definitely think no matter what, Houston is going quarterback with their first pick. Like it, like it, like it. Second pick, there's been a couple of names that have been thrown around right here. In your new mock draft as of St. Patrick's Day, you've got the Rams taking Jake Matthews. If they stay in this position, I know there's going to be some interesting draft moves. We've had them possibly going with Davian Clowney as well. I've also seen Sammy Watkins. Why did you go with the offensive tackle, Jake Matthews, Rob?
Well, the Rams have to improve the offensive line. There's no doubt about that. Here's another situation here where, you know, the Rams also have Jadeveon Clowney. He's the number one player in the draft. But you got Robert Quinn and Chris Long. And, you know, you take a chance of passing up on Clowney. My previous mock draft, I had them still take Clowney, even with the defensive ends. But I think they go with Jake Matthews here to try to improve their offensive line with Sam Bradford.
Like it, like it, like it. So now, if you are the Jacksonville Jaguars, so this is one of those tough things, Rob, because everything in my body tells them that they made all these moves. They traded Blaine Gabbert. They're solidifying different pieces here. It seems like they made all these moves to get a quarterback, yet you have them taking Jadeveon Clowney at number three. So tell us a little bit about that, your thought process with that. I still somehow think that originally Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, would be a fantastic move just to sell tickets. Rob, I don't even care if he's not that good, but maybe the, you know, just having him sell tickets, bring some excitement to that team, Rob.
Well, obviously, Manziel will be exciting for whatever team he goes from the box office standpoint. But you have to look at, you know, Gus Bradley is from the Pete Carroll school of thought. Let's build a dynamic defense. If Clowney gets to the number three pick, Gus Bradley is running to the podium where Clowney is his draft pick. Mark my word.
Wow. All right. I sort of like it. I'm still hoping that somehow he drops, but that's not going to happen too. If that does happen, like you said, so if everything goes along the plan, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you are ecstatic as well, I think, Rob, because then you can get the exciting players, Johnny Football, Manziel. They've actually released a couple quarterbacks. They released Jason Campbell, Rob. They released Brandon Wheaton, who actually signed with the Cowboys today. But here you got Johnny Football. I'm not going to make fun of Cleveland too bad. I've got, like, a lot of family that love Cleveland. You know, I just feel their pain a lot, Rob. But, you know, it seems like it's a good – it's going to be open competition. Johnny Manziel.
Off the record, now, y'all.
Well, what did you say, Rob?
Off the record, Cleveland fans, he keeps dogging y'all out.
No, I'm not dogging you guys out. I like it, though. But you've got them picking Johnny Manziel, very exciting player here. So tell us your thoughts about this in Cleveland. They're going to be running the podium too, I want to say.
Well, you look at Cleveland, they have a great offensive line already. Obviously, Alex Mack, who's probably the best center in the league, the free agent, so there's concern there. But if they can keep him in the fold, you're talking about one of the better offensive lines in the league. But you got to have the quarterback. And I think Manziel would definitely be the guy that can add some excitement to the fold for Cleveland. Team with a solid defense already, so I have him on Manziel here.
So you think you have to have a quarterback just to succeed, Rob? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Well, I think, you know, for it definitely helps, I can promise you that.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I love it. Now the number fifth pick, and for some reason I always keep forgetting about them. Not anything personal, Oakland, I'm just saying. But the Raiders. Number five, this was kind of – I was making jokes about this earlier, Rob. If Al Davis was there, this would be a no-brainer with Sammy Watkins, but fortunately Al is not there. So you've got them going another direction and taking Teddy Bridgewater at number five. We talked about him having a rough pro day. Is this a situation, Rob, where they could actually get lucky and get probably the most pro-ready quarterback in this draft?
You know, there's a slight chance there that he is. Borders is more and more looking like the number one QB in the draft, but Bridgewater still has a ton of potential. He can move around in the pocket. He can run. He can throw the football. So there's obviously some potential there with Bridgewater.
This is what I was saying. I was saying that, you know, yeah, Borders is number one quarterback, but all the scouts are talking about that the most pro-ready quarterback right now is actually Teddy Bridgewater. Now, like I said, we don't know if that was a situation where after the pro day, but just looking at film and everything, that's what a lot of scouts have said about Teddy Bridgewater. And if that's the case, you know, like you talked about, you know, I guess you got to keep drafting until you get it right, you know. So I know you mentioned Jamarcus Russell, some challenges with that, but, you know, that's how it plays out, sir.
Absolutely. So there's definitely that chance. And I think Oakland will run to the podium with the opportunity, at least having that opportunity to turn Bridgewater into a star.
Gotcha. All right, we are steadily moving here. We've got about, we've got about 4 minutes left in the show, 5 minutes, excuse me, left in the show. And, of course, I would not be remiss if we don't talk about my Atlanta Falcons for the draft here. And as a Falcon fan, you know, Rob, come on, man. I'm not going to dog. Saints don't have a pick, do you? Oh, you do have a pick, 27. Okay, sorry. All right, let's keep moving here. that's a joke here. There's two ways, and obviously Falcons have made some moves in free agency. We shored up some defensive moves here. And you guys have taken Khalil Mack, outside linebacker from Buffalo. I wouldn't be mad at that pick, too. I'm still kind of thinking if Robinson is there, then mainly in that direction, too, though. But, you know, either or, I think Greg Robinson is just a dominant tackle, man. You put him on the right side next to our new John Asimov. Man, I'm running right, man, and just going to, you know, that's where I think we may go, too. But I like Khalil Mack, too, so tell us about your picks about this, and feel free to expound as long as you need on this.
Well, here's the deal. When you look at the Atlanta Falcons defense right now, you don't have a pass rusher, and right now they've really solidified their defensive line and their new 3-4 scheme as far as stopping the run. When you look at Paul Salih, I mean, he's a legitimate nose tackle for 3-4. You look at Tyson Jackson. You look at Babineau. They'll be great 5 technique defensive ends. So I think you're solid there as far as your defensive line on the 3-4, but you don't have a pass rusher. Khalil Mack will be that guy. He's got great speed coming off the edge. Your question is competition, but I think in every workout, whether it be the Senior Bowl, you shine. Combine, you shine. I think, you know, scouts are really high of him. I know for a fact that Thomas Dimitroff has him as a second-rated pass rusher in the draft and really loves him. And I think that that he would take Mack in this situation over Robinson.
So if Mack, Robinson, and Jake Mack is Jeff Matthews there, he's still going Mack, right? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. All right, number 7, we got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as we stay in the NFC South. Lovie Smith is putting his mark all on his franchise. We got about 2 minutes to go, Rob. Tell us about this pick, and maybe we'll jump into our next pick, and we get ready to set the show for next week.
Greg Robinson is another elite back here. He's got great feet, very strong. Louisiana kid, too. Yeah. another great prospect. He's a dominant run blocker. I mean, dominant run blocker. And you look at Jake Matthews, he may be a little bit more polished as a pass blocker, but Robinson has the potential to be great at both. You know, you just got to realize when he played at Auburn, you know, they run a spread offense. So I think he's going to get better as a pass blocker at the next level, but definitely an elite prospect. Definitely be a great pick to Tampa Bay.
Gotcha. Well, as always, we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in to our Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Rob Ford. Rob, you want to say anything as we get ready to wrap up this dynamic episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man?
Once again, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. Keep up to date of all the sports news, comments, give us your thoughts. Make sure you join us next week. We'll have a show date pretty soon here. 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 8 Pacific, 5 Hawaiian time. Join us next week, people. Good night.
We appreciate that, Rob, and hopefully we'll hear some more information possibly about the brackets for the 12th man. So we'll talk to you guys soon. Robert, a pleasure talking with you, sir. Have a good evening.
Good night, people.
Good night, people.